Great Scott!
Are you a sports fan who loves to have a good laugh?
Oh, yeah!
Then you're in the right place.
I'm going to make him an offer again.
Life moves pretty fast.
The Patriots win the
Welcome
Super Bowl!
Welcome to the Man Cave Chronicles.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's show. This week, I have Marty Shannon on. Marty, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you?
Good. How's everything on your end?
Did you say how's everything on my end?
Yeah.
It's pretty good so far. And then what time, where are you guys located?
We are in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So you guys are on a different time. I'm in California, so the night is still young, actually.
Yeah. So what's new for you for 2018?
I'm going to try to go to the gym a lot more, but isn't that a cliche? Which is actually perfect that you called me right at this time, because the gym I go to, the DJ was setting up, which is a really asshole LA thing. So this timed out perfectly so I can avoid trying to work out while a DJ is mixing and scratching.
So, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Florida, a small town called Sarasota, and I'm a musician. I was originally, you know, just torn, toiling away in that little weird town, and then decided about 7 years ago to pack up my stuff and drive out to California to pursue music, and since then, and so I've been really lucky, and a lot of cool stuff has gone my way, and I've been allowed to play a lot of cool shows and work with a lot of cool people. So
yeah.
I'm so practiced at that. What, you know, tell me about yourself, that it ends up being like 10 seconds and you guys got to filter time.
Well, I got some questions for you. Don't worry.
Okay.
When and why did you start playing music?
I mean, I've always been attracted to it. My family is an artistic family, despite what they will tell you. No musicians. I was the only one, and I was the only one that left home. So I think maybe it was just in me to be the black sheep and leave and pursue something crazy. I mean, I've always been encouraged by my family, and they're really cool people. So I wasn't scared to kind of make the leap. And like I said, I've always just loved music. I grew up around it, and mostly actually from church, which, I mean, I don't do Christian music or anything, but it was a very musical church that I went to. So I got a lot of my chops at an early age.
Yeah.
Out being forced every Sunday.
So what made you like decide, okay, it's going to be LA? Like, how come you didn't decide to go anywhere else in the country?
Well, I was working at Starbucks, and my friend from high school, who I barely knew, actually, she was in town visiting, and she came into my Starbucks, and I said, "What's up? How you been?" And she said, "Well, I live in LA, and I was trying to get out of my town. I was either going to do New York, San Diego, or LA. I really don't know why San Diego. I think I read it in a magazine that it was a cool place one time, and so." She said, "If you want to come out and check it out and like sleep on my couch for a week, you totally can do that." So I bought my ticket that night with my meager Starbucks salary. I was pretty sure I was broke the entire vacation. But I flew back to LA and I fell in love with it. And I ended up meeting my girlfriend now of 6 years that first day I was there.
Yeah.
So I was just visiting, and then after the visit, I flew back to Florida, and I decided I'm going to start saving up some money. And so I did, and drove out to L.A. It was pretty much the only reason I picked L.A. is because there was a couch for me to sleep on.
Yeah. It wasn't the weather at all. I mean, you already grew up in warm weather, so I guess L.A. is pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, I mean, Florida is just like a swamp in the air all the time, so it sucks all year round. LA's got nicer weather, but worse traffic. So I don't know if the trade-off is worth it.
Mm. Who were like some of your favorite musicians or groups?
Like right now, I try to actually, I sometimes try to force myself to listen to new people and try to get into a new artist really heavy. But the one that is like never, there's a couple that have never left me, but there's one that really inspired me and still to this day, it's John Mayer. And although I don't sound exactly like him, the guy is just such a legend and a genius. And you know, he's one of the best guitarists still making music, and one of the best songwriters still making music. So I would say him, and then there's, you know, there's legends like Bill Withers and Al Green and Sam Cooke are huge for me. And yeah, that's pretty much it for those guys. I don't have a long list of people I like idolize. So
yeah. Do you enjoy writing lyrics for your music?
Specifically, yeah. I love working with other people and I love collaborating and trying to get other songwriters to come in, but there's nothing like writing my own stuff and every word of it coming from my own brain and my own mouth. So yeah, I think that's probably my favorite part about making music is songwriting.
Yeah. So like what goes through your mind when you're like trying to write something?
Well, I mean, I come at it from as a lot of different ways, but the way that I've been doing it recently is I will just think of like a sentence just offhand. I won't even be trying to write or anything. And if a cool phrase pops into my head or just a concept pops into my head, I will I'll try to like sit down on the computer or my guitar and flush that just that single sentence out and turn it into a song. Or an idea or an emotion. You know, I live in LA. I'm trying to pursue music and I have a longtime girlfriend. So you can imagine that I'm crying a lot or I'm angry a lot.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of emotions to put down on paper or into a song.
Yeah. Like, how often do you practice? Do you every day?
Back when I was still, you know, struggling at it, I would purposefully practice every single day and, you know, sit down and make sure I have an hour on the guitar or the piano or producing a day. But now it's just become, I just do it so much anyway that I don't even think about it as like getting my time in. I just pick up the guitar and a lot of it is, it's my job now. So I'm doing it anyway. I guess it's kind of like I don't really know, like a swim teacher swimming every day, but I guess they do that, so I don't fucking know.
Yeah. So now, like, you've written and performed with contestants from, like, The Voice and The American Idol. How was that?
It was cool. You know, some of them are just, you know, small, like, teenage kids from the middle of America that, and that's the whole point of The Voice and American Idol, is to kind of get this talent from all over the U.S., and, so working with them, a lot of them have no idea how to, you know, sing into a recording microphone. Like, you know, there's a difference between singing live, singing on a record, or singing, you know, just alone in your room. And so some of them are very green at, like, the whole producing music and making music thing. But it's always really fun to watch someone learn as we're doing it or to teach someone a skill that they're going to take with them for the rest of their career. Because the first time I ever got into a studio, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. And I was really, because, you know, you have a tendency to think that big, big LA producers can be assholes. And they can be, don't get me wrong. But I was lucky enough to work with someone who was nurturing and cool and understood that I didn't know what I was doing. So I wasn't embarrassed. And I try to be that for those kids. And, I mean, it's just so neat to work with someone who's got such a big, big following already, and they don't know what to do with it. Because, like I said, a lot of them are from, you know, wherever, Missouri, and they just wake up one day and they're in a music studio in L.A. trying to write a song. And so it was awesome. It was a great experience, and I still actually work with a few here and there. I'm actually not supposed to say their names. Also because I was just insulting them.
That's all right. So you wrote a song for The Walking Dead. And like, how were you approached to do something like that?
So I don't know if you're familiar with the show or your listeners.
Yeah.
I assume yep, everybody is. So the two girls from the show, look at the flowers. What was that line? I don't remember. The two little girls, they were sisters.
Yeah.
And I don't know their characters' names, or it's Wright and Charbino and Kyla Kennedy. That's their real names. I don't remember their characters' names, but they, spoiler alert, this is like season three, guys, or four, but they die. And they, you know, every like dead character gets like, they always come back up in a memorial episode, or there will be a flashback, or something will happen with these characters where they die and they end up coming back. And so the director of the episode that they were supposed to get their flashback in really wanted a song, an original song for them to air. And they, the two girls who were like, I think 11 and 13 at the time, the director wanted them to write the song and get it produced. And so they came to the studio and they actually sang on the track and they co-wrote it. And so they were really hands-on and it was neat. It was just cool to kind of get their perspective of a song that they were writing about their characters dying. It was awesome. It was a really interesting experience.
Yeah. Are you a fan of the show?
I love it. I've seen every episode. From start to finish, I watch it the night it airs. The problem is, you know, I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody, but it's starting to kind of go downhill, in my opinion. But I'm not gonna shit on it because I still watch every effing episode.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. It's like one of those shows where, like you said, it's going down the hill. But at the same time, you put so much effort to watch it. Like you don't want to just stop watching it.
Exactly. Otherwise, I feel like I've wasted so much time.
So you've also performed at a few venues. What are some of your favorite venues?
There's so many great venues out here. But I mean, there's a House of Blues in Phoenix is a really cool place. And although it's just a House of Blues, every place has a House of Blues. This one was just weird. I got there to play the show and there were still people eating dinner and it was like a sold out show. So they had to like move tables and cause it's like a 500 person venue, but during the day when they're not having shows, they have like dinner. People are just eating. And so I got there, get out of the bus and it's just a dining room full of people and I got all my gear. And so I have to kind of like squeeze past these people and mic check while they're eating their chicken wings. And they ended up all leaving, obviously, and then they let the people bought tickets in. But they were super nice, and the sound was great. And I thought walking in, I was like, "This is going to be garbage." They're still letting people eat their dinner while I'm trying to sound check. But the sound guy was amazing. All the people working there were awesome. It was sold out, so it was really, really fun. That one's cool. And there's a couple out here, like House of Blues, LA is awesome, and then like the Whiskey and the Roxy and the Viper Room. They're all just, everybody that works at those have been doing music for 40 years, and it's always an old guy with long rock and roll hair and weird faded tattoos that's doing sound. So they're always, there's a lot of great venues out here.
How was it touring with Ron Pope?
Cool. He's one of my really close friends, and I actually didn't expect him to ask me because he doesn't usually come out on the West Coast because most of his fan base is like an East Coast and international, like European fan base. So when he does come out west, it's like once every other year. And I totally forgot that this was the year he was coming out here. And I usually just go as a fan, and he texted me and he said, "Hey, do you want to do the last six shows of my tour for Out West? I'm not going to expect you to, you know, fly to the East Coast and then tour with me all the way back to your house." So I of course said yes. They flew out to LA and they were all staying here, all of his band and him. And then we drove in a bus out to Arizona and we played all of our shows from Arizona through to California. And it was incredible. What a great experience. The tour bus was disgusting like it should be. And the guys were all dirtbags like they should be. And Ron is just a really great guy. And I, to this day, I text him like a couple times a week just to tell him, "Hey, man, remember the tour? It was pretty fun."
How long was the tour?
We did six shows. His tour was like 20 shows. I just did the last six for him.
Okay.
when he got far enough west, I did the last six shows with him, and yeah, it was great. It was really fun. It was one of my first touring experiences, like full on. I've toured by myself, and I've toured with a couple other, you know, smaller name bands, but this was like the first full, cool, like, legit tour I had done. It was like 4 or 5 years ago.
The Man Cave Chronicles on Twitter at the MCC Podcast. We'll be right back.
RotoWear.com.
RotoWear.
Big shout out to the RotoWear company.
It's so goddamn comfortable.
Can't recommend them enough, man. Yeah. High quality t-shirts.
Shout out to RotoWear.com.
You see me rocking the shirts on the videos and stuff like that.
Where'd you get that?
RotoWear.
That is courtesy of RotoWear.
It's just the highest quality of shirt.
Yeah, I really like the baseball designs you got here.
The shirt is beautiful.
Everybody who I've talked to who has the shirt basically says they can't believe how good the quality is.
Yeah, Ken, I've seen you. You've been getting a lot of love. You said you've been only running for a little over a month.
CBS guys are tweeting out shirts. I'm seeing fantasy personalities everywhere digging this guy's shirt.
I love the Run DFS shirt.
It comes with baseball cards with all the different shirts on it.
RotoWear on Twitter. Check out RotoWear.com.
Oh my God. Is this shirt making love to me right now? Like, what's going on? I love this shirt.
This is G-Rod, and you're tuned into the Man Cave Chronicles podcast.
So let's talk a little about your single. You released it back in November. You Got Me. How long did
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's the song that I've been writing for a very long time. I mean, I think I'd written it back like almost 10 years ago. It was right before I lived in LA. And I think listening back to it now, I know which ex-girlfriend it's about. So I'm trying to produce all my own stuff now, so I don't have to work. I don't have to struggle to try to find people that I vibe with or that I can work well with. And obviously I just like the creative control of being able to do it from top to bottom. And so it actually helped that the song was already written a long time ago. And then I just had to put that onto the paper, but really the computer, and produce around that. And it came out in November, and it's been really cool since, and people seem to like it. And then I've got the, so now that I, it was my first song I released completely self-produced, without any outside input or other songwriters or anything. And since it got such a cool reception and people are liking it, I think I'm going to do a few more of just me producing.
Is your plan to eventually put all those together for an album?
I think so. But the way, I mean, you see the way the industry is now, there's a very select few artists that can actually sell an album. Everybody likes singles now, and you see that when nobody goes platinum anymore, and if they do, it's just Justin Bieber pretty much and Taylor Swift. So I think singles are just easier and they're more economic because, you know, it costs money to produce a song and put it out. So singles are I think what I'm going to stick with for now, but eventually, yeah, I'll probably put them all on like an album just to make some more cheap money.
Do you remember the days we were younger when you know, artists would release a single and you would still just go and buy that, like on CD or tape?
Of course. I wish things were still like that, because it was an album was a store. It was a work of art. Every song had its place, and even the album artwork was awesome, and the track titles were cool, and the inserts and the CDs and in the tapes, you could take them out, flip them around and read them. It was awesome. I used to love buying CDs and even tapes. So I think it's a bummer that's the way things are going, or people are just making singles and you just go online and download a single and that's it. You really have you almost lose that connection with the artist.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a bummer.
So how does it work for like somebody like, you know, you release a single and you want to put it like on iTunes or Spotify? Do you have to go through like steps?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of like websites and paths for independent artists to be able to compete with label artists, you know, get yourself out as many places as Justin Bieber does. There's a bunch of services that will take your music and then they'll distribute it for you via Spotify and iTunes and Amazon Music and pretty much everything you can listen to music on. There are websites that will distribute your song for that. And then pretty much that's why, like I was saying, I love having the control over everything. And I take my own album artwork photos. It got to the point where I was Photoshopping and editing my own album artwork because I just love doing that kind of stuff. But it's easier and cheaper, actually, just to pay someone to do it.
Yeah. Other than music, like, what else are you into? Like, what other passions do you have?
I love building stuff. I've recently, well, not even recently, I've done it my whole life, but actually just started selling some pieces. I love, like, building furniture, and I bought a house, so a lot of the restoration I'm doing myself, and a lot of the remodeling I'm doing myself, so that's all really fun, and I love working with my hands as much as I can, I guess. Making furniture, there's still got that design and art to it, coupled with the construction aspect. So,
yeah.
I think my voice were to get, you know, horribly ripped out of my throat at some point, maybe a vicious tiger accident or something, I would probably go be a construction worker or something.
It's okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that either.
No, I love it. My dad does that. So it's in my blood, I think.
Yeah. So you learned a lot from your father?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I mean, no offense to my mother, but I think I learned most of what I am from him.
Yeah.
He taught me pretty much everything I know.
So finally, what other future projects are you looking for in 2018?
Man. Well, I'll work with anybody who asks, pretty much. But I've been producing my own stuff now, so I can write and release whenever I want. So I've got this song right now that's finished. It's just going to come back from the guy who's mixing it and mastering it. And once that's up, I'll release that. It'll probably be in February sometime. And then just if they were to, like, follow me on social media and stuff like that, I'll keep them all updated on when stuff's getting released or when I'll be in their area and all that junk.
Yeah. So how could the listeners and the fans find you? What do you use for social media?
So if you search Marty Shannon on anything, I'll pop up. But on Twitter, Instagram, I'm Marty_Shannon because there was already a Marty Shannon on Twitter. And I've met that guy in person, actually.
All right.
You got to add the underscore.
Yeah. And you have a website too, right?
Yeah, it's MartyShannon.com. But it's I don't even know the last time I was on there. The guy who runs that website, I think I just pay him every year, and I don't think I talk to him until he asks me for money at the end of every year. So if you want the updates and the most current news, follow me on Twitter or Instagram. That's where I'm at most of the time.
All right. Is there anything else you want to tell the listeners before we end this?
No. Do you pronounce your last name Giannakopoulos?
Giannakopoulos, yes.
Giannakopoulos. Oh, shit, I was close. I was going to try to impress you by saying your last name, but...
It's all right.
No, I'm good, man. This was fun. I appreciate you talking to me.
Oh, no problem. Hopefully you'll come back on in a few months again.
Yeah, of course, man. Just shoot me an email. I'd be happy to.
All right.
Baby, it looks like rain. Didn't know what you meant to say.